You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Jeff Hathorn, Jim Colony, Sean Myers here on the Fan Morning Show, and that music only means one thing, that we go to Ray Fittipaldo, Steelers beat writer for the Post-Gazette. Ray, you know, I watched that show, Everybody Loves Raymond. The one thing that always drove me nuts about it is that the guy was a sports writer, but he was always home. That is like the least true statement about a sports writer, is that they're always home. Like, who did he cover? Like, come on.
That's true, especially this time of the year, right? Christmas, New Year's, if they make the playoffs, maybe I'll be busy in January. Yeah, not very realistic, is it?
No, not at all. What's the realistic thought from you of T.J. Watt playing on Sunday?
I don't know about you, Jeff. It sounds to me like they're just going to use him as a situational pass rusher. You know, he only practiced on a limited basis last week. I mean, it's really hard to say without talking to TJ, but it seems like he's having a hard time getting back into football shape, or at least that's what it seems like. I mean, Mike said a week ago that he was cleared for football activities, so it's just taking a really long time for him to ramp back up to get to the point where he can, or he feels like he can contribute to the football team. So I kind of get the idea this is TJ's call. You know, he'll be ready when he's ready, and hopefully for the Steelers' sake, he's ready on Sunday night.
You know, this is really – I'm looking to my right on the monitor. Ray, there you are. I mean, this is like video and stuff like that on the radio, and this is just unbelievable. But here's the thing, though, is that in a lot of ways, the Steelers are more well-equipped to do without T.J. Watt, at least in a short term, than they are compared to other players at certain other positions. Yet at the same time, how important is he – We always think about him with sacks and getting to the quarterback and putting pressure and so forth and so on. But how important he is to the run game, because to me, that's what's gonna kill the Steelers on Sunday night.
Yeah, I mean, I think Alex does this very well. I think Jack Sawyer does this very well. They come screaming off the edge, you know, and they can create those tackles for losses. You know, for whatever reason, like offensive coaches today, a lot of times don't bother blocking edge rushers. They kind of feel like, you know, they're going to use them as sort of pawns in their game. And the Steelers are really good at creating negative yardage plays with their outside linebackers. So TJ's really good at it. But, you know, fortunately for the Steelers, I think Sawyer and Highsmith do that very well too. But you're right, Jim. Henry's coming off a monster game. He's coming off three monster games in the past three outings against the Steelers. You know, if John Harbaugh is smart, he's going to hand the ball off to him 35 times on Sunday night. And if he does that, I think the Steelers are going to have a hard time winning that football game.
But will he do that? I think that's – especially if Lamar is back, will they, you know, think that they can do other things and get away from their bread and butter?
Man, why would you? I mean, John Harbaugh has seen that the Steelers have Lamar's number. John Harbaugh has watched Lamar this year and knows – that the injuries have kind of, you know, limited what he is. You know, he's not the MVP quarterback that he has been in other years. So I think whether Lamar plays or whether Tyler Huntley plays, I think the game plan has to be Derrick Henry. Just look around at that, at the weapons. I know Likely and Andrews are good, but, you know, like a guy like Rashad Bateman, a failed former first-round pick, he doesn't scare me. Zay Flowers has had a checkered past against the Steelers. A lot of drops in big games against the Steelers. So I'm kind of like, okay, if you want to pass, go ahead and pass. If I'm the Steelers, I'm most concerned about stopping that running game and finding a way to limit Derrick Henry's effectiveness in this football game.
Well, you know, I'm not a football coach or anything, and sometimes I guess we kind of play one, you know, play football coaches on the radio and so forth and so on. But my goodness, why would he not just give the ball to Derrick Henry every freaking time especially based on what they saw last year in the playoffs.
Absolutely. 299 yards. and I know Lamar had a lot of those. But Derrick Henry just ran through the Steelers on a lot of those occasions. So I'm sure the Steelers will come up with a better plan this time. If you talk, and Jeff knows this, Jeff was in the room the day Terrell Austin said this. He thought they actually did a pretty good job against the Ravens in the last outing against the run. Now, they had 234 yards, and I think that raised a lot of eyebrows. But I think they had two big runs. I think the couple of backups had big runs. Henry got his yards, but he didn't kill them with big plays. And I think that's what Austin was referencing. So obviously you don't want to give up 200-plus yards, but Austin feels like they did a pretty good job against them on the whole the last time. And obviously that's going to be the biggest key in this game on Sunday night.
And Ray, you know, I asked Mike about this, but I'll ask you, do you feel like it's a different run defense now than it was even the last time that they met, that the Steelers have taken a step that can show itself in this game?
Well, was that the question when he answered, well, maybe it's just Derek Harmon? Or was that a different question?
Well, he threw that in as part of the answer, and then there was a follow-up, and he loves the Derek Harmon, that Derek Harmon is everything thing, doesn't he?
Yeah, I couldn't tell if he was maybe half serious, but he's also a little bit sick of that storyline. I kind of feel like,
I think.
You know, I kind of feel like, I hate to say they've turned the corner, knowing that what the Ravens could do to them, but they were really effective against the Dolphins. I mean, the Lions had a really good running game. They did that on their home field. So yeah, I do feel like they're playing better. And if they are going to make the playoffs, Jeff, you have to be able to stop the run. I mean, that's probably one of the most important aspects of being a team that advances in the playoffs. So this is going to be a big test for the Steelers. If they do get to the playoffs, they're going to have to earn it, and it's probably going to be because of their run defense.
You know, I was just – the thought occurred to me, and you mentioned the Lions, because I was flabbergasted earlier this season where the stage seemed to be set when they were playing the Indianapolis Colts and Jonathan Taylor, and what they had shown is like, how are they going to stop him? And then they did. And then I know, you know, turnovers had a lot to do with that. But and then the same thing after what we saw against Buffalo, and it's like, holy crap, here come Gibbs and Montgomery. They're playing in Detroit on turf. How are they going to be able to stop that? And then they did. And maybe everybody's thinking like a couple of us, or at least I am. I don't know about you, sounding like you are too, is that there's no way they're going to be able to stop Derrick Henry. So I guess, hey, maybe that's a reason to think that they're going to, because we don't think that they can.
And maybe that's the next step in this process, because what have we talked about all season with this football team, whether you're talking offense or defense? It's the inconsistency. It's the ability or the inability to do things from week to week. So, yeah, I think if they could take that next step. And, Jim, you mentioned the Detroit game. They did that without T.J. Watt. They did that against the Dolphins without T.J. Watt. So the defense overall, and I don't absolve them of blame for the Browns loss. They did not play well in that first quarter, and that really was a big factor in that football game. But if you look at the way they've played really over the last month, it's pretty darn good, and it's pretty close to what we thought this unit was going to be before the season started.
We're joined by Ray Fittipaldo, Steelers beat writer for the Post-Gazette. In one game, not having DK Metcalf, the Steelers have yet to score a touchdown. What do you think they learned from that game, and where can they find someone to help make up for those lost catches?
Man, Jeff, I've spent the last couple of days just trying to formulate in my mind how they do make up for his loss, because there were no answers in Cleveland. Now, I suppose you could say, oh, well, throw the ball to Pat Freiermuth. Well, they haven't thrown the ball to Pat Freiermuth all year, so I don't know why people think that's going to happen in Week 18. People bring up Roman Wilson. Whether it's the coordinator or the quarterback, and I don't know which, but somebody there doesn't have a great level of confidence in Roman Wilson. So you could say all you want, well, you know, he's a third-round pick. He's fast. Let him go out there. I mean, that might be true, but he hasn't done anything all season. So you're really looking at the Scotty Millers of the world, the Adam Thielens, the MVSs, and the Jonnu Smiths to carry you through this football game. And I honestly don't know how that's going to work. I mean, do you guys think they're going to score more than 17 points in this game? I think 17 points would actually be good for this offense based on what I saw in Cleveland.
Well, typically it's what, a 3-point game. Here's the other thing too, is that, and I had forgotten that the first win against the Ravens, that was one of those games where the Steelers looked like they were comfortably ahead, and then all of a sudden it got really squirmy as Baltimore started to come back. And Jeff and I talked about this earlier. What kind of atmosphere do you expect on Sunday? Because I just think there's going to be an undercurrent of dread among Steeler fans that are kind of just waiting for a chance to just watch things fall apart. It's just I'm fascinated by what the atmosphere is going to be like on Sunday night.
I think it'll be raucous pregame. I think it'll be raucous at kickoff.
And then what?
If they get behind, like if this scenario comes up, if they're behind by double digits late in the third quarter, do not play Renegade. Please do not play Renegade. because you're just going to start that whole cycle all over again. You'll get the fire Tomlin chance. I mean, you would hope the home fans would have belief if it's like a 10-point game in the fourth quarter. But if it got really out of hand, I think they're going to come down hard on Tomlin. They're going to come down hard on the players. They're going to blame DK Metcalf. They're going to blame Tomlin. It's going to be a mess. But, you know, we'll see what happens. But for the Steelers' sake, maybe they can avoid all that and actually play well instead of what they did Sunday in Cleveland.
Ray, we know that Darnell will not play. Optimism around TJ, but also around Isaac Seumalo, Calvin Austin, James Pierre, and Brandon Echols. If you could have one of those guys back to make an impact in this game, which of those four would make the most impact?
You probably think I'm crazy, but I'm going to go Echols because I think Echols gives them a lot of flexibility with what they can do with Ramsey. If they want to use Ramsey as a chess piece in this game, they could do that. You know, he could play free safety. You know, that would free him up to play the middle of the field and, you know, maybe get a turnover or two. So I just have this memory of Shedeur Sanders taking advantage of Chuck Clark early in that football game. And, you know, Ramsey having to step up and play a different role. They've played really well with Ramsey at safety. If they could do that for an entire game, I think it might make a difference.
You know, nonetheless, I know we're talking about, like, the beginning of the Cleveland game was awful, but it's like the defense, even though they had their problems and Cleveland played well enough, is the offense going to be good enough? That's my thing. We're spending a lot of time talking about TJ, like you said, talking about Echols, and I understand all that stuff, and yet it seems to me that this is one of those games where if, I don't know, does 20 points win the game? I know you said you thought 17 would, but I don't know. I mean, I think they need to get into the 20s in order to make sure that they advance.
Well, if you're Tomlin, Jim, you probably think you can win a low-scoring game. I was looking back at some of the recent games in this rivalry. There were a couple of 17-10 games a few seasons ago. Didn't matter if it was at home or on the road. And this was when the Ravens were a really prolific offense, like with a Lamar Jackson MVP type of guy, a quarterback. So he's going to have confidence that they can win that kind of a game. And they sort of held that Ravens offense down for the most part until late in the game in Baltimore. So I'm sure that's what Tomlin's thinking. Win it 17-14, win it 19-17, however you draw it up. I just don't see a scenario, guys, where they score over 20 points or 24 points. I just don't see how it happens without DK Metcalf. He's such an important part of that unit, I don't think they can replace him, and certainly not on short notice.
I think it's tomorrow, Ray, that the Steelers are going to announce who their team MVP is.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast. You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Who's your team MVP?
Well, who's mine, or who do I think it's going to be?
I'd say both.
I think it's going to be Aaron Rodgers. That's who I think that the team will pick. And I think it's well-deserved, despite the way he played on Sunday. But Kenny Gainwell, and I know the stats aren't there, but like he wouldn't go down like as one of the great MVPs of all time in franchise history, but he's been such an important piece to that offense as a receiver, as a running back, as a special teams player, that I might pick him. But in the end, I think it's going to be Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, speaking of Gainwell, he was misused is the right thing. I don't know. I just thought that they were. I remember at one point I kept saying to myself watching the game in Cleveland. I'm sitting there by myself watching the game. My wife's there kind of peripherally. And I kept saying to myself, I don't understand. I said that. And finally my wife says, well, I don't understand either. She didn't even know what I was talking about. But I just never understood the offensive philosophy they had. I understand they're using him to chip Myles Garrett and all this other stuff. But I don't know. It just seemed to me that for a guy that you pointed out, you can make a case. And who knows? Maybe his teammates will vote him as MVP. But that you can make it for a guy that you can make a case how important he is, that they just didn't make really good use of him in a game that they really could have used him.
Yeah, and Jim, I'm not a coach either, but I'm just theorizing here that you guys noticed that Myles Garrett was lined up as a really, really wide nine as a pass rusher. I mean, he was way out there, and he was trying to use his athleticism to get around the tackles. And I think they felt like Kenny Gainwell was their best option to move his feet and to stay in front of Myles Garrett and to chip him on almost every play. So I think that was part of the reasoning. You know, if Myles Garrett was in a traditional stance, I don't think Kenny would have been utilized that way. And obviously, when you look at, you know, how it took him out of the game as a receiver, I think it had a big bearing on that football game. So the one good thing for the Steelers is they're going to get Kenny Gainwell back as a receiving threat out of the backfield. The Ravens don't have anyone that would cause you to pay that type of attention to them. So Gainwell will be back in his role. That's good. They certainly need it in this game on Sunday night.
Ray, final one. You've been colleague with a pair of guys that vote for the NFL for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and Ed Bouchette and now Jerry Dulac. We were talking about Hines Ward earlier. Do you see a path for Hines Ward to get in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? And if you had a vote, would you vote for Hines in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, 100%. I would vote for him. You know, his path, though, Jeff, might be like Elsie Greenwood's. And Elsie, unfortunately, isn't going to see himself go into the Hall of Fame. But there's a pretty good chance he's going to get in this year via the Veterans Committee. I think he's down to the final three or five. Final five. And, usually those guys, the way that works, usually if you get into that five, you're eventually going to get in. So hopefully that's this year for LC. I just think the way that, like, the Steelers' bias is, how hard it is for receivers to get in. With Hines' time running out, I think it's going to get hard for him to get in by the writers, but I do think he'll eventually get in. I think there will be an appreciation from pure football people. And I don't want to cast aspersions on writers or other media, but pure football people, I think, have a better appreciation for Hines Ward than maybe some of the writers who get to vote on this thing.
All right, one other quick one. If you had a vote, and Jim, I want you to chime in on this too.
Okay.
Because you know it would be awesome if one gets in without the other. Would you vote for Belichick or Kraft?
Go ahead, Jim.
Well, something about putting owners in the Hall of Fame I think is kind of weird. Especially Robert Kraft. I mean, what Dan Rooney did in terms of his influence on the merger. Okay, that's Hall of Fame worthy stuff. But just being a guy who won a lot of championships, Although I guess I'm poo-pooing that when the Steelers won a lot of championships. But I'd go Belichick first.
Yeah, even though they both bent the rules, or Kraft obviously knew what was going on, probably go with Belichick first as well.
Yeah, I'm not going to massage this topic any farther.
Is he going to make the College Football Hall of Fame? Probably not.
Ray Fittipaldi from the Post-Gazette joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. Thank you, Ray. We'll see you a little later.
All right, guys. See you.
Bye, Ray. Right.
Ray's the best. He is truly, like, people like joke, everybody loves Raymond. Like, he is one of those people.
He's yeah.
Just a good person.
Just a good dude. Yeah. He's one of the guys I miss. You know, people ask me if I miss stuff. Yeah, he's one of the guys I miss seeing around. He's just a good guy to see.
When we come back, let's get into, as it is New Year's Eve, let's get into the Penguins stories of the year. Doug Whaley will join us at the top of the hour. It is the Fan Morning Show on 93.7 The Fan. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Our thanks to Ray for joining us here on the Fan Morning Show on this New Year's Eve. Penguins have won two straight to end the calendar year. 7-3 over Chicago and 5-1. They thumped Carolina at home last night.
I know. The big joke on Sunday, Stewie, on Sunday was, well, they outscored the Steelers.
Yeah, I saw that a bunch.
Yeah. And then last night when I went up to bed, they were ahead 3-0, and I was wondering if they'd hang on when I got up this morning.
It was a nice win over Carolina.
Yes.
A good Carolina team. The Penguins have been, they'd lost 10 of 11. They've now won, what, 3 of 4. It's just one of those things. And they've made some, I've actually liked some of the moves they've made. It has been an interesting year in 2025 for the Penguins. Let's start as we look at their stories of the year. Guy who won you a pair of Stanley Cups, Mike Sullivan. The all-time winningest coach with, strangely enough, 409 wins was let go.
And it was time. It really was. You know, and the whole thing, and I don't know exactly the whole thing about, and I talked about this on one of the Saturday shows, I probably will again, but about the message, how it gets lost. Who's it going to get lost with? You know, the three guys that have been here the longest are the ones that were completely behind Mike Sullivan. And even the other guys. I mean, Brian Russ was one of his guys that was called up right away when he first got hired, came with him. He was one of the Wilkes-Barre kids that came up with him. And then who else has been around for a long time? I guess Raquel Quantz is being around for quite a while now. But really, how many guys have been around long enough for the message to get stale? But whatever it was, it just wasn't working. It just felt stale. It feels stale to fans, certainly. Same thing is true with the football team. But it turns out that, you know, they couldn't sustain the start that they had, but now it looks like they've bounced back, and Dan Muse is doing a pretty good job with what he's got. And not considering, like, Malkin's hurt right now. And so they you know, I mean, they're about where they should be, right?
When they brought in Dan Muse, the question was, is he going to be the coach when they're competing and contending again? We'll wait and see, because it might be several years down the road. But I agree, it was time to move on from Sullivan. He did a great job here. He's always going to be remembered fondly. Obviously, didn't start particularly well with the Rangers. We'll see how that plays out. But, you know, I always thought of the NHL as a sport where you move off of coaches quicker than other sports, although we've seen in the NBA the Phoenix Suns have a new coach every year, and a few NFL coaches got fired after a season. Look to New England.
Right.
Sometimes, even if you think you might not get a better coach right away, it's still the right move to move off of a guy when you know he's no longer the right coach for your team.
Also, the Penguins, as part of the reason that he was fired, missed the playoffs for a third straight year. The last playoff series win was 2018. Jim, it seemed like, you know, you watched Chicago and Detroit, more notably Detroit, because it had that long playoff series, and it's taken them a long time to get back at it. And you thought, oh, you didn't see a lot of people didn't see the warning, but we are in that zone that Detroit was – I'll use more Detroit than Chicago – that Detroit was in, and now they're kind of working their way to be a playoff-ish team, but it takes a while.
Are we just more nostalgic than other places? This is, are we still like the oldest population outside of Florida?
I don't know.
In terms of all that stuff. I mean, you know, you have a house here, you can't afford to sell it and move anyplace else. But anyway, so maybe we tend to hang on to the past longer than we should. And, you know, but certainly with the case of Sid, you're not going to, Sid's here as long as he wants to be here. And you know, Letang doesn't want to go anywhere. Malkin, I'm not sure. Are we hanging on to them too long? Maybe. But what else are you going to do? And you just have to, you know, and they've been stuck in that middle too in terms of draft pick. You know, you don't get like that high draft pick.
Right.
But they've got a bunch of them now, and you can't. In the NHL, it seems more than other sports, you can actually use draft capital to move up a decent amount to get a better pick, and maybe that's what they can do.
Jeff, I don't know if you know this. I am a Red Wings fan, and I have weird sports allegiances. Mm. 25 consecutive playoff appearances. And the last 3 or 4 years, they weren't Stanley Cup contenders. They were getting guys at the deadline just to continue that streak. They were getting the David Leguans and whatnot just to get into the playoffs, knowing they weren't going to win a Stanley Cup. And it came at the expense of the next several years. Once they missed the playoffs, they had nothing ready in the cupboard. It was bare. The biggest issue they had, and you hope that the Penguins don't fall into this same situation, is they never got a top three pick. The best they got, despite having some miserable years, was number four. And why is the rebuild taking so long? Why is it going on a decade? They now have the second longest playoff drought after making it 25 consecutive years. If you don't get that elite player, which usually comes in the top three, if you don't get maybe a couple of those top three guys, it's awfully, awfully tough to rebuild when you have almost nothing in the pipeline like the Red Wings did. And I think to a large extent, maybe not quite as bad where the Penguins are at.
There always seemed to be some apprehension about the Fenway Sports Group and what their allegiance was and what their care factor was with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Well, they turned it into quite a profit and sold the Penguins to the Hoffman Group that was finalized this month out of Chicago. Seems like their CEO is all fired up about it. He wanted to own a major pro sports team. They owned an ECHL team in Florida. Anytime this team is sold, what you can hope, I guess the biggest thing for me, because ownership is ownership. I mean, we'll see how much they spend up to the cap, all that stuff. But that they're not idiots with Mario Lemieux.
Well, yeah, there's that. But in terms of spending, Fenway, it wasn't like they scrimped on payroll or anything. They're right there. And they got smart. And actually this year they're doing well, even though they're not spending up to the cap like they usually do. And that's smart. I mean, you can save it for, you know, then you can bring some people in to add to what you might have. But I don't even know. Do you even know what happened with Lemieux, what they did to piss him off? Does he need to be involved? Because he's never been one of those guys who's, He's been quietly around and just been regal because that's what he is. But in terms of being somebody that wants to be in control, that wasn't really him, was it?
No. It wasn't about that. It was just the way they treated him. And there was some dollars and cents that weren't going his way that he thought were going his way. And there were some other things I think that they...
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Wanted him to do that. Mario was like, yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm Mario.
Well, speaking of dollars and cents, is there anything better than owning a sports team? Because you make a massive profit, even after just a couple of years, right? They almost doubled the amount that they bought the Penguins for.
Sidney Crosby becomes the Pens all-time leading scorer. I didn't know if I would see a time where someone passed Mario, but Pens fans are so lucky to go from Mario to Yager to Sid, basically. But Sid finally did it. He passed Mario Lemieux.
Well, Mario kind of had the Ted Williams thing. I always talk about that. I know that's an antiquated reference, but he lost to World War II and then even the Korean War, where he was in his 30s and they called him up to fly fighter jets. And so he lost so many years of prime. And Mario, think of how much time he lost. And then when you look at it, how much time did Sid lose when he was at the peak of his career? Who was playing better than Sid when he was putting up ridiculous numbers when all of a sudden, you know, Dave Steckel and that ridiculous outdoor game that they never should have played in those conditions happened? So he lost a lot of time as well due to injury. But, I mean, the way he keeps himself in shape, to me it was only a matter of time before that happened. And Sid, I know they keep talking about him as a top five guy. Who's that? Who's the fifth guy? Gordie Howe? It's too soon for McDavid, but anyway, he's top four. He's always been the fourth. He's always been number four to me for the last 10 years.
First off, I'll answer. Nick Lidstrom should be in that conversation. Nonetheless, so as great as Crosby's been, incredible, and I think you make a good point, top five all time. I don't know that there's anyone that watched both he and Lemieux that would put him over Mario, right? Is that fair to say? Lemieux's Lemieux's maybe number one all time. In my mind, talent wise, he is the best ever.
Well, it's three guys. And I don't know when somebody else, you know, McDavid was supposed to be, but now he doesn't have the wins to back it up. There's been three guys who have been over and above everybody else for a long time. And I don't know who's, like I said, to me, Sid was next in line after them. But with Lemieux, Gretzky, and Orr, in any order you want to put them in, the game was different then in terms of how many points you could get, and yet Mario was still ridiculously dominant. I think it was Jesse Marshall put something up on Twitter, this morning that it showed the stats in the 92 season at the beginning where Lemieux had 99 points after like 30-something games, and the next guy on the list, I don't know if it was Yzerman or somebody, was like in the 50s. He had like a 40-point lead in the scoring race.
How about a quick aside? We found this out last week, I think it was last week. Ray was on with us. He was at the five when Mario scored five goals five different ways. Ray was a young man in attendance cheering for the Penguins at that game, which is, of all the games to be at, to see that would have been amazing. Crosby also set an NHL record as the only person in 20 consecutive seasons to average at least a point a game, and I stood with a couple of other reporters outside a house in Sewickley and talked to Sid about the trade rumors. As we end this, because that became a topic for a little while, do we ever think Sid will play for anyone else but the Penguins?
I hope not.
I will say yes, but I don't think it's going to happen imminently. I could see like a Ray Bourque final season, gets traded to whatever team might be, you know, maybe it's Colorado. I don't know. It would be fitting because that's where Bourque went, where he can get that one final run. But I don't think he's going to make that move, you know, within the next year or so. I would say it's maybe when he knows it's his final season in the league.
All right, coming up, we are going to discuss... Oh, Jim, I didn't give you your opportunity.
No, I just said I hope not. And I made a cringe face with like the Ray Bourque thing. But maybe it could happen. I don't know. But if he makes it here that long, I don't know. He's got a sense of history and legacy that I think is different than he's different than a lot of other people.
The other big local sports stories of the year. And then we've put together our top 10. We'll do that. And Doug Whaley joins us coming up at 9 o'clock. It is the Fan Morning Show. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. All right, it wasn't just the four major teams in town that were making stories. Congratulations to the Pittsburgh Riverhounds, USL Championship. First time in 26 years of Riverhounds soccer. They won a championship. Goalkeeper Eric Dick was the MVP. Congrats to Robert Morris for winning the Horizon League. Return to the NCAA tournament. I think RMU won like 15 of its last 16. And, you know, for all the coaches that are now dealing with, you know, the NIL and people going everywhere. Andy Toole's been dealing with that for like ever. Of like, he develops good players and then someone else takes them. And yet he still has success with the Colonials, even in a much improved league that he's in.
Yeah, good for him. Solid dude, too.
Yes. Also, two other big local-ish college stories. How about Penn State, sorry, Sean, ranked second to start the season? Not only didn't win the national championship, but fired its coach during the season. I mean, who would have thought in August that you'd be talking about James Franklin being fired mid-season? And Rich Rodriguez returned to West Virginia and found a way to win the backyard brawl.
It's a little fitting that Penn State beats Clemson in a bowl game because the Tigers were another team that was, top five.
Texas.
Kiss of death, I guess, for some teams. Now, Ohio State's bulletproof in that regard. But I was a James Franklin supporter for a long, long, long time. This year, it was his make or break year, and he broke pretty quickly. He lost that team after that loss against UCLA.
Oh, they didn't waste any time. And they were the first team looking for a coach talk about a high profile job vacancy. And then they were the last team to hire one, pretty much. Although I guess accepting whatever that nonsense
right, Michigan
in Michigan.
Stuff. Right.
So it was crazy. You almost think like anytime you make a move like that, it's like, whoa, people will be lining up to get the job. And then, hey, maybe Matt Campbell will turn out to be really good. We'll see.
Sadly, we only get PGA golf and a major championship about once a decade. But once again, the U.S. Open for a record 10th time returned to Oakmont Country Club. And 34-year-old J.J. Spahn hitting about a 64-footer on 18 after he drove the green on 17. He was tied for the lead, drove the green on 17, two-putted for birdie, drove it in the rough on 18, which was death, found a way to get it on the green, and then buried that 65-footer to win the U.S. Open. It wasn't the biggest name. The weather at times sucked. But, man, here's a dude who had one PGA Tour win and just persevered, which I think makes him an honorary Yinzer. I thought it was a cool U.S. Open.
Yeah. We need better weather, though, the next time it comes here. And it will come back, in about 8 or 9 years?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be 100 degrees like it was back in
the
94?
90s. Yeah, that was 94. And then I'm kind of – was the weather good when Angel Cabrera won?
Yeah, the weather was.
I think the weather was okay then.
Yeah, I think it was like the Thursday. It was bad, but then the weekend was nice.
But it was a quagmire, the Dustin Johnson year. That was crazy. But
I'm thinking of Dustin Johnson, not Angel.
Come on, Jeff. You've birdied 18 out of the rough at Oakmont. I know you have.
Sure. Yes, many of times.
But it's crazy when stuff like that happens. And I mean, golf is, you know, we play, so maybe we appreciate it more than a lot of other people. But when you see stuff like that happen, it's like, oh, okay.
I don't play. I'm a terrible golfer, but I live in Oakmont. I was very excited about that. It's obviously a big deal, something I was looking forward to. I got to go Saturday, and shout out to Josh Rountree. Got to go Sunday as well.
Whoa.
You guys can shame me for this, though. It was pouring.
That you're friends with Josh?
I consider him a friend. I don't know if he would give the same answer.
Yes.
Okay. He's like a big deal with the Western Pennsylvania Golf Association.
Yes, and he will brag about playing and playing well at Oakmont, by the way. But when it was pouring down Sunday, I walked home. I was not well equipped to stick around for the final, whatever it was, seven holes.
Wow, that guy.
So I watched the Spahn putt from my television.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. The 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. One other note to make here, more of a congrats to Neil Shipley. Dominated on the Korn Ferry Tour and earned his PGA Tour card. Awesome for Neil. Look forward to seeing him in PGA events this coming season. When we come back, we've tabulated all the numbers and we'll give you the top 10. And then we've got Doug Whaley coming up at 9 o'clock. Fan weather brought to you by the Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Snow's actually started earlier than a lot of people thought. It's supposed to get heavy a little later this afternoon and into this evening, so be careful out there. High of Franco Harris, as we will give you our top 10 stories of the year next on the Fan Morning Show. Traffic was brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. The mayor just came in. I think he heard that Jim was back on.
Yeah.
Or that Doug was about to be on. One of those. I'm not sure exactly how that came. Or is it going to go over to KDA?
Yeah, probably on the news station. Yeah, you would think.
But it was cool to see the mayor in here. All right, we've got our top 10 stories. We tabulated the votes such that they were.
Yeah.
The number 10 story in Pittsburgh, Dave Parker getting into the Hall of Fame. Number 9, Riverhounds win the USL title and Robert Morris wins the Horizon League. Number 8, Aaron Donald's number at the University of Pittsburgh retired. Number 7, J.J. Spahn winning the U.S. Open during that crazy weather week at 1 under par. Number 6, Penn sold to the Hoffman Group from Chicago. It's not often you see a franchise in Pittsburgh sold. Number 5, the Steelers offseason. T.J. Watt, $41 million. Ramsey, Jonnu get traded for. Metcalf added. Quarterback room gutted. Number 4, Sidney Crosby passes Mario Lemieux as the Pens' all-time leading scorer after Sidney rejected trade talks or said he wants to be in Pittsburgh. Number 3 story of the year, Renegade getting booed and the fired Tomlin chants during that Buffalo game. Number 2 story of the year, Paul Skeens winning the Cy Young. And the number 1 story in Pittsburgh, Aaron Rodgers signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers and how that season has worked out. And we'll go into a new year where really how that worked out will be in the balance. We'll talk to Doug Whaley about that next Wednesdays with Whaley as we continue. It is the Fan Morning Show on 93.7 The Fan.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.